This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Now, if you're anything like me, you'll remember growing up in the 1980s with a Sony Walkman. Later, perhaps, a Sony Minidisc player. And, yes, I also had a Sony Trinitron TV during my misspent youth. So, Sony, obviously, is a brand that is widely known to many of us who are blind or partially sighted. But what you might not know is that Sony is undertaking a body of work around accessibility to make sure that Sony products are as accessible as they can be for those of us who are blind or partially sighted. And here to help us learn more about that is David Williams, who is Head of Accessibility Europe. And yes, we do have the same name, and we'll try not to make that become a distraction. David, welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio. Lovely to be speaking with you once again. Can you just please give us a little bit of an overview of Sony's current accessibility initiatives and how they align with the kind of wider mission and values of the company?
Sure, thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to meet up again. And again, from Sony's side, the corporate message is delivering innovation for an accessible future. This is the vision for accessibility. It's great using technology, how we can make a difference. I've been with Sony also for over 30 years. I also grew up with my bright yellow Walkman. And those are my first memories, and I've worked in television design over quite a long time. That's where my speciality is focused. But now to work across the accessibility segment since 2019, it's really rewarding. We're working with the community to better understand how we can utilise our great technologies to make a difference. And I'm lucky to be able to head in up within Sony Europe since 2022, one of the corporate projects across sustainability where accessibility plays a key part. And basically through accessibility, we're trying to work for internal and external promotion, education and regulation. So I'm responsible to pull people together to try to get feedback from the community and try to make a difference. And from my personal perspective, this is really one of the most rewarding roles I've had in Sony in all my years.
Okay, so we all know why accessibility is so important, but how does Sony incorporate accessibility into your product design processes?
Yeah, so all of our products, we're basically engaging with the community, whether it's blind or partially sighted, whether it's hard of hearing, whether you're working across cognitive areas. We basically need to get feedback from the community to make sure that we understand the challenges and we understand how best we can use technology and adapt it for individuals' needs. Again, our mission is to bring inclusive design into all our product processes by financial year 2025. So all of our design groups, we're all working hard now to make sure we fully understand the needs of different markets across different products, as this is really Sony's corporate mission set out from the top. Accessibility really is number one priority. We want everybody to enjoy, in Japanese they call kando, which is when you really feel moved emotionally. And, you know, this is really important for us to make sure that we connect with everyone, regardless of ability, through our great products and services.
So just tell us a bit more about that gathering process. How are you gathering and integrating that feedback from users? What does that look like?
Yeah, so we work with organisations like the RNIB or maybe ONSE in Spain. We're also active across a number of external events. So wherever we can, maybe we'll set up a research project, we'll do surveys, and we're trying to gather as much information as we can, as many times we could overlook. Things might be clear in your office to certain people, but sometimes when you're faced with technology, you can overlook certain things. So we're active in surveys, research projects, etc. Also, Sony's been a sponsor of TechShare since 2019. So this year, I'm proud to say, is going to be our sixth year. It's the largest inclusive design and accessibility event in Europe. We're proud to be on the event. And again, we can connect with the community through those events, and we can also connect to other industry professionals and share information and best practice.
Right, okay, so you're going to events, you're sponsoring events, you're doing testing, there's focus groups, all that stuff, and that all kind of feeds into this process. Let's talk about some specific examples then. What do you think are some of the most innovative accessibility features that Sony has recently introduced?
Yeah, so Sony is a leader in the digital camera market. And recently we've introduced a screen reader function, so you know the viewfinder on the camera is pretty small, even for me to see it. And again, it's a talkback function, so the messages, the menu information, This is read back so the user can understand exactly how to control the camera, etc., etc. So that's on the cameras. And on televisions, which is an area I've focused on recently, they include new features such as menu timeouts. So you have longer to read the menu if you need. Also things like color inversion grayscale, so you can personalize to suit your own needs. Things like volume reset, so the TV can turn on the preferred volume, which could be a challenge if you're in a family environment. I know when I turn the TV on, somebody set it up to number 58 or something.
Yeah.
And also things like multi-audio, so you can listen to the sound of the speakers or through a Bluetooth device. You know, so there's lots of various smaller features like that. But I think one thing we're proud of is now at the start the process of our latest TVs, you can set up the talkback in multiple languages. So we were challenged to try to make an accessible setup. And from the products now in the shops, you can see we have this accessible setup from the start, which we're very proud of.
Absolutely, because I, as a blind person, you know, I want to be able to buy a Sony TV and to set it up completely independently out of the box. I love that you mentioned the cameras there as well, though, David. I take a lot of photos, and while I can't see any of them, I'll never grow tired of hearing the noises that other people make when they see, you know, pictures of my son or my dogs or whatever, you know. So blind people are very interested in photography. So I love what you're doing there to make that technology more accessible. I want to ask you about consistency, though, because you've got a really diverse range of products in the Sony portfolio, you know, from TVs to gaming to cameras you already mentioned. How do you make the accessibility experience consistent over such a wide range of products from Sony?
I think it's a challenge. And obviously, if I look at our organization, we centre around an accessibility promotions office that looks to share best practice across all the categories, but our TV range is based on Google TV. So we support the full range of suite for accessibility within Android. And then you can also use your Google Assistant. So if you're using your mobile phone or other devices, the Google Assistant is consistent across those devices. But outside of televisions, if you look at things like PS5, now I've only been involved in accessibility since 2019, and I was amazed how important gaming is to the blind and visually impaired, partially sighted community. And then within PS5, you have, if it's the hardware, you have challenges to make it accessible. And recently, Sony's introduced the access controller for people with mobility challenges. But also, the gamer now has so many audible cues to allow you to understand exactly where you are in the game, and you can play normally. I'm not a gaming expert, so I'm happy to invite one of our PS5 experts to come and talk about PS5 and maybe future date, if that's helpful.
It is. You've got a date. We'll get our gaming expert in as well, and they can get talking about gaming together, because I'm not a massive gamer as well, David. But don't tell anyone. So when it comes to some of those third party game developers, or perhaps some of the developers of the streaming services that you get on, you know, TVs. So there's lots of third parties that are engaged in creating experiences on Sony products. What can we do to make sure that the experiences that they create are also accessible for everybody?
So I mentioned the TVs run on Google TV with the Android system. Then if an application's come from Android, it should support the suite of accessibility that's supported by Android. But we have a big challenge when we have applications like the UK Catcher Players that use things called HBB TV. So it's a bit of a mouthful, hybrid broadcast broadband television. So these are outside of the normal Android ecosystem. And the challenge is when you have apps across ecosystems. And one thing, our guys, we have our technology leaders working across HBB TV standardization. And recently they provided APIs that allow settings to be discovered between HBB TV and other operating systems. So again, Sony's, we're not only focusing on our products, we're trying to improve the industry, and it should make a difference to all operating systems when you work with things like HBB TV applications, make easy discovery and also to carry settings between devices and between applications.
You alluded to this a little bit earlier, but you know, thinking about our audience, many of whom are partially sighted or blind like myself, just talk about some of the partnership work you're doing with our sector.
Yeah, so we're a member of the Valuable 500. This was kicked off in the World Economic Forum maybe back in 2019. And one of our head, Yoshida-san, he's one of 13 iconic leaders. So really accessibility from the at the Sony top all the way down is resonating through the organisation's part of our DNA. We also collaborate, obviously, with the RNIB, with ONSE, with AbilityNet, working across surveys, working across research projects, where we're always trying to get that insight, whether we're applying for inclusive design or to gain other knowledge internally.
And what do you think's the biggest challenge that you as Sony need to address?
Accessibility is a long journey. There's no golden bullet, and a case of it's this collaboration with the community. It's to understand the solutions at work. There's not a single action we need to make, many, many small steps, but we are making inroads into it. And through collaborations with organisations like the RNIB, I believe we're making good steps forward.
And internally at Sony, are you training employees about accessibility?
So within Sony Europe, I mentioned over our tea earlier that our headquarters is based in Weybridge. And recently we've introduced something called the Idea Lab, Inclusive Design Education and Accessibility Lab. We also took it to Texture last year. But the Idea Lab is a fixed space for employees' education, awareness and engagement. So it's in the central area of the headquarters, in the collaboration space. People can drop by, they can take a look at the products, they can ask questions. We also use simulation devices so people can grasp then the challenges that people face, or maybe we're using gloves from Cambridge University so people can understand the challenges that people face. And what we find is through the Idea Lab, it's basically opening up conversations. Maybe people have got challenges themselves, their family or friends have challenges, and the Idea Lab is a good space. It builds trust, and you can have those conversations with the internal staff.
Can you share any specific success stories or, you know, case studies where Sony's accessibility efforts are significantly impacting the lives of blind or partially sighted people?
Yes, I think there's a good example in Japan and the US. So Sony's introduced a camera kit. So it uses a Sony Digital Compact camera, I think is the DSC-HX99, and we partner with a company called QD Laser using a Retison Neo Viewer. So it's basically using retinal projection technology. So basically it's projecting using low power laser, it projects the image on the back of the retina so it avoids any problems with focus in the front of the eye. And this camera really is unique. And again, it allows some persons with low vision or partially sighted, it allows them to take photographs and to even see their surroundings. So I think this really is a unique product. And the first time I saw it, I was wowed and I was moved. It's available, as I said, only in Japan and the US. The initial markets are launched in. But we'll have to see how it goes, whether it goes to other markets or not.
Mm. And how does a company like Sony stay compliant with global accessibility standards and regulations? You know, what role do these play in your product development? And of course, next year we've got the European Accessibility Act. What will that mean for Sony?
That's right. So in the US, our colleagues' regulations are not new in the US. They've complied with accessibility regulation for a number of years. But the European Accessibility Act from June 2025, obviously this applies to televisions and other products like e-book, ticket machines, communication devices. And the EAA references a ETSI standard called EN301549, which indicates and guides how to do it. ETSI stands for European Telecommunication Standards Institute, and it's one of the standards bodies that prepare standards within Europe and worldwide. But the EAA and EN301549 doesn't tell you how to do it, so you need to determine how you do it. And obviously from Sony side, we need to ensure that we fully understand the regulation and we apply things correctly. Then our team are also working with an ETSI to ensure we have clarification, we understand exactly what the standard's saying, so we don't have any risk or deviation.
Okay. So if I've bought a product from you, David, a TV or something like that, and I need a little bit of help, you know, you mentioned that you've done some work around accessible setup, but even with that, not everybody knows necessarily how to answer all those questions that sometimes we get asked during the setup process. What help is available for your blind or partially sighted customers?
And so Sony's proud to partner with Be My Eyes. So obviously this is the mobile app that can provide sighted support to people who are blind or visually impaired. And if you select the specialist support section, you can connect directly to a product specialist. So if you're having trouble in tuning your television or setting up your audio or your speakers, using the app Be My Eyes, we'll connect you straight through to a technology specialist working in Sony who's trained to deal with calls from blind or vision impaired persons.
Right, and Be My Eyes, that's a free app on your smartphone where you can get that specialist support. So you'll find Sony in that specialist support section.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. To what extent is Sony engaging with the accessibility community to stay informed about the needs and challenges of blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, so we work across the world. I mentioned about the Texture Pro event in the UK. We've been active for the last 6 years. It's the largest event in Europe. We're also active in CSUN in the US every year. And our colleagues in Japan, they attend Sight World. So again, we look into disseminating information, make contacts with leading organisations, connect with persons with disabilities. And again, if we look at the community, blind and visually impaired is a large proportion. And then through those events, we want to keep best informed. And we'll apply the knowledge and learning into our inclusive design process and try to make a difference.
You mentioned the Be My Eyes app a moment ago, and Be My Eyes over the last year have been making greater use of AI, artificial intelligence, to provide information for blind and partially sighted people. Is Sony making any use of AI for accessibility?
We're actually part of the Be My AI project with Be My Eyes. We've made a number of rounds of testing to check how the applications work. And again, if you go through the app, we are part of the beta test, and you can select your Sony products, and we've been testing it to confirm the accuracy of the BMI of the artificial intelligence to see how it responds. And also regarding, I mentioned cameras previously, Sony's a leader within cameras and sensors and photography. We're also using AI for subject recognition. So the AI, besides tracking things like eyes and human beings, it can also use to track maybe animals, vehicles, insects. So we're using AI engines and processing units to try to automatically determine objects, determine tracking. And these features in the infancy, but we can see with the speed that AI is evolving, they're going to make a huge difference to make photography easier, more accessible in the future.
David, just before we wrap up, is there anything else that you wanted to mention that we've not touched on?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I think it's we've mentioned about the products. And now Sony's striving to have great accessibility, but it's not just the products. It's also about the packaging and how do you start the process of engaging with the product. And accessible packaging is a big challenge. And recently, the Sony team has worked with a blind and partially sighted community to develop a tactile QR code. So tactile QR code has a number of raised pips on the packaging. You follow a line which takes you into a square where you can discover the QR code, which obviously then leads you to an accessible experience online. But this tactile QR code is now rolling out across a number of products, and I think it's a really great achievement, and it's quite unique. I see nobody else doing this, but it's really a fundamental to try to discover that QR code. And once you get the QR code, then really you can get a huge amount of accessible information offline. So I think the QR code is one that it's a great success story, and this has only come about through working with the community.
I felt one of the accessible QR codes, and essentially what you've done is to have a kind of a raised line around the edge of the square, and it's got a distinctive little gap in the centre of each edge. So you know you've got this really tactile experience that, QR codes can be tremendously powerful. You know, when we talk a lot at RNIB about technologies like NaviLens, but of course, if like me, you're totally blind, then if you don't know they're there, then you don't go looking for them, and so they might as well not be there. So that's wonderful to hear that work is now rolling out into products, and I guess there'll be more to follow.
Of course, it's not just the products, it's the customer service, it's the packaging, it's the whole experience we need to work on. And that's one of the challenges we've got in Sony now, is try to make a fully inclusive experience for everyone.
What's the best way to direct feedback about accessibility to Sony?
So you can contact the Sony European Accessibility Promotions Team on apo-eu@sony.com.
So that's APO, so Alpha Papa Oscar, -eu@sony.com.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You come through to our team and then we'll get back to you as quick as possible.
All right. Well, finally, David, and I really do appreciate you taking time to pop in and chat with us. Where can our listeners find out more about the range of accessibility initiatives at Sony?
Yes, so if you go to our website, www.sony.co.uk/sustainability-accessibility, we'll take you to a site where you can learn about our general accessibility initiatives. Or if you go to YouTube and if you search for Sony Corporation Official Accessibility Playlist, you find a range of accessibility videos which are all audio described and accessible, where we talk about the full range of Sony's products.
Head of Accessibility at Sony Europe, David Williams, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Dave.